Okay, just a couple of thoughts this morning in regard to this very strange story of two brothers that had sibling rivalry all throughout their life. And I don't know if that phrase means anything to you, sibling rivalry, where even as children sometimes the younger is trying to keep up with the older, and it's just a contest all the way through. It just is a reminder that life doesn't always go as smoothly as we'd like. The book of Obadiah, as Ed said, is the briefest book in the Bible, only 21 verses, and it talks about these two people, Esau and Jacob. But really what it's talking about is their name change. Jacob, whose name is later changed to Israel, Esau, whose name is later changed to Edom, and they become these two powerful nations where they're at contention all of the time. So, I don't know if you've ever seen on television or in the movies when a baby is born, they make it look so nice. Here's a mom sitting there like her hair's just been done, sitting there just relaxed and comfortable. Here's this baby that's a model, just good complexion, eyes wide open, smile on their face. That's not reality. The reality is you're going to see a drenched mom, exhausted, and you're going to look at this thing, this wet, gucky, gooey thing. You can imagine when Rebecca gives birth. She knows she has twins, at least I think she knows she has twins, and when this first child comes out, covered in hair, she must be wondering, what is this? But without even being able to give it much thought, there is something hanging on to this, whatever this is, I think it's a boy, is a hand, fingers wrapped around the ankle, maybe the heel, of this thing that came out of her. This other thing is there, and there it is. It's the beginning of a grasping, a sibling rivalry for life. The story of Obadiah is the story of this contention that exists between Esau and Jacob. And in the story, it talked about Esau being the older, which means that he would receive the birthright. It doesn't mean that Jacob wouldn't receive a birthright. The birthright always meant this. The oldest son would receive a double portion of the inheritance, because typically the oldest son would need to keep on continuing with the business or whatever the father's business was. It was to help it continue to go. It didn't mean that the other children didn't get anything, but he would receive a double portion of it all to keep things going. But there's this contention that happens between Esau and Jacob for the rest of their life. It's just this battle that takes place. And it's Jacob on the run and Esau going off to do what he's always enjoyed doing. And in many ways, Jacob becomes Israel, the nation of Israel. And what happens is a name change. Jacob is hearing now that he's older, he's married, he's got his entourage, they're on the move. And he hears the rumor that his brother Esau is coming. And Esau and all his entourage is coming. And all Jacob can remember was sibling rivalry. This conniving, this manipulation that took place between Jacob and Jacob's mom against Esau. And this idea that's always been perpetrated by Esau was that one day if I see you, you're a dead man. And yet we don't have too much scripture that suggests such a thing. Esau went on his way and he lived his life. And we don't know much about it, but he hears that Jacob is over there and he's coming. He's coming to Jacob. Esau has one thing in mind. Jacob has another thing in mind. Jacob, because his mind is always rotating, going in circles, thinks, I'm going to get killed. This is the end of my life. And Esau isn't thinking that. Jacob doesn't know it, but Esau's not thinking that. And so on one side of this part of the road, down this way a ways, Esau's coming. He won't be here until the next day. Jacob kind of takes care of his family, and he sits by himself for the night. And along comes a man. We don't know how it all started, but the man and Jacob get into a wrestling match. And they wrestle all night long. No one's getting to either hand. Jacob's getting exhausted. And toward the end of the wrestling match, the Bible doesn't say it, but I can't help but think it, the man smiles. And even though the man's been wrestling with Jacob all night, and Jacob's been wrestling with this man all night, the man just stands there and reaches out, and with one finger, he touches Jacob's hip. And his hip is dislocated just like that. And Jacob realizes who the man is. The man is God. Come in human form, making a very strong impression upon Jacob. Jacob, you've been wrestling all your life. And not only have you been wrestling, you're going to spend the rest of your life walking with a limp. And there was Jacob, and he realized, I saw the face of God, and I'm still alive. And then he thinks, oh, maybe for just a second or two, because Esau is coming. So you can imagine the anxiety that Jacob must have felt from all this wrestling match. And here comes Esau. Jacob's too tired to mount a fight. He's just standing there, and Esau comes up to him and gives him the biggest hug you could ever imagine. Esau had long forgotten about all that other stuff. Esau just wanted to be with his brother. And Esau comes and he offers this tremendous reconciliation to Jacob. And Jacob doesn't know what to do with it. He just doesn't know what to do with it. There's so many stories behind the story. Just so many stories behind this story. We all wrestle with God. We all walk with a limp. We all have scars. For some reason, people just show us kindness when we feel like they shouldn't, especially from people that we never thought they would. It's just a continual reminder that our life is bigger than ourselves and that God is guiding us all the way through. And for those who are here, who are in the class I'm teaching on Psalms, you are reminded that the Psalms are not just looking back at life and just saying everything's rosy. In fact, 60% of the Psalms are lament Psalms, and lament means no holds barred. Let all your emotions come out and just scream them to God if you want. God will take it. God will hear it. It's the story of our life. And even though throughout the Bible, Israel, Jacob is known as the one whom God loved, Esau was also loved by God and was blessed in his own way. In many ways, when you stop and think about it, Esau was a cool guy. Coming out of his mother's womb, he knew exactly what he wanted to do all of his life. Yes, he had a hot temper. Yes, he probably didn't smell too good. Yes, he was outside all the time. Yes and yes, but he did what he wanted to do. He fulfilled his own life. And from him comes this big, powerful nation, but not a nice nation. And poor Esau kind of is in the pages of the Bible being a pretty good fella, but always being known as somebody who wasn't, when in reality, he is. Just like all of us, we all have an Esau and a Jacob living inside of us. We all have a Jacob and an Esau inside of us. Maybe being close to God, but wrestling with him. Maybe walking with a limp. Maybe being so concentrating on what we want to do that we forget about everything else. I think it's our story. And this story of Obadiah is of this big, powerful nation, Edom, that will no longer be. And Israel will continue to be. But Israel, like the rest of us, will always walk with a limp. But we give that limp to God. And a limp sometimes reminds us of who we are and that we really do belong to this family of God that's so much bigger than we are. It's a really cool story.